It's on. Okay. Good afternoon and happy Easter. So for those of you who do not know me, my name is Emily Shields. I am 19 years old and currently a freshman at Youngstown State in the pre-nursing program. I'm here this morning to tell you about the best gift I have ever received, God's saving grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. The Lord has always been at work in my life, even in times when I totally rejected him. I grew up in the Catholic faith. I attended Catholic schools for 5 years, went to Mass almost every Sunday morning, and received multiple Catholic sacraments. I knew there was a God, and I knew Jesus died on the cross, but I did not yet know the entire picture. I hardly knew anything about the Catholic faith, yet I did not question it. I believed what I believed because my family, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, you name it, were all Catholics. It wasn't until I reached high school that I not only questioned my faith, but also doubted God's existence entirely. I started to partake in sinful activities to impress my classmates. I began lying to my parents, sneaking out, going to parties, and doing things I knew I should not be doing. During this time of sin, I knew it was wrong, and I didn't want God there to watch me and make me feel guiltier. So I began to tell him to go away. How foolish I was. I cared more about what the senior boys thought of me than of what the God of the universe thought. I told God at every party to go away, and eventually he did. I stopped praying, simply went through the motions in church, and completely doubted God was real. My sin was drowning me, and I didn't even know it. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9. Where should I move it? Okay, thanks. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge men into ruin and destruction. Being so engulfed in the ways of this world, I started to become absolutely consumed with my self-image. I wanted to fit the standards of what the world tells us beauty is, which made me sort of a perfectionist. And this perfectionistic attitude gave rise to a type of thinking that was hard to compete with. I thought that if I wasn't the prettiest, then I wasn't pretty. If I wasn't the smartest, then I wasn't smart. If I wasn't the most athletic, then I wasn't athletic. I began to absolutely hate myself. My hair, my face, my body, my personality, you name it, and I hated it. So not only was I a sinful, wretched person, but I disliked God's own creation because he made me, did he not? Psalm chapter 139, verse 13 to 14. For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. When I started writing this testimony and began to reflect on the immature, self-consumed teenager I was in high school, it overwhelmed me with thanksgiving, because God saved me from my sin and death, even when I was 100% against him. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 8. I will cleanse them from all their iniquity by which they have sinned against me. And I will pardon all their iniquities by which they have sinned against me and by which they have transgressed against me. So in the midst of being engulfed by my sin, feeling putrid about myself, and doubting God's existence, my brother Ryan started doing Bible studies with my family. He introduced me to the God of the Bible, and by the grace of the Holy Spirit, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Romans 5:5. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit. I continued to ask Ryan a million questions, started seeing the truth about Christianity, and before I could even recognize it, my life was completely transformed. I was born again and made into a totally new creature in Christ. I still struggle and I still have sin, but I'm no longer blind to it. For example, before I wrote this testimony, I kept thinking about how did I find God, and what did I do to become a Christian, and what contribution did I make? Yet another self-consumed mistake on my part. Romans 3:11, there is none who understands, there is none who seeks for God. I did nothing. I received the greatest gift of my life, all while I was recklessly and hopelessly against God. He granted me saving faith and a pardon to all of my sins, all while I was deep in my sin. I did nothing to deserve this, and I could never do enough to thank him. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Thank you.
It's been about a year since I think Ryan was baptized, and although the waters haven't gotten any warmer in years coming, the Lord's work has disseminated in the family, and so we're thankful for that. And so Emily, based upon your testimony of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Hello, my name is Susan, and this is my testimony of salvation. For most of my life, I did not have a personal relationship with Christ Jesus. I did not know the amazing love God has for us, nor did I understand the importance of God's Word. I found it impossible to believe that a person could know for certain here on earth that he was already marked for the kingdom of God. I knew bits and pieces of the gospel from what I had heard in church, but it made little sense to me in regards to the overall picture. All that God is and all that God has planned for believers, beginning with this life here on earth. I grew up as a Catholic, but I fell away from organized religion altogether in the mid-1980s. In 1 Timothy chapter 1:15, Paul writes that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Well, I have lived much of my life as a sinner in chief, prideful, selfish, and unrepentant. I had an excuse for everything. I was a knowing and willing participant in a life that was unacceptable to God. I may have been misled about gaining salvation, but I knew what God's commandments were. I lived in darkness much of my life, for I was greatly conformed to the world. Daily, I was weighed down by shame, guilt, anger, and fear. It may have appeared to some that I had everything together. But the sad reality was that I was extremely insecure, depressed, and empty. I never thought of taking these issues to the Lord and asking for His help. Instead, I tried to conceal my emptiness with things like antidepressant drugs and alcohol. I also kept myself extremely busy or constantly distracted instead of seeking a relationship with the Lord. I came to know Jesus through a co-worker. I know it was God's mercy for me when Pastor Matt and I began working together in healthcare. Before I would go to my first Bible study group ever, which Matt held in his home. The year was 2000. It was there that Matt taught me the truth about salvation, that there was nothing I could do in and of myself to get into the kingdom of God. So trying to live a good life and doing everything that was expected of me wouldn't redeem me. Saying the rosary 3 times a day wouldn't save me. Confessing my sins to a priest and doing penance that he prescribed would never deliver me from God's wrath. Simply, it was accepting that Jesus was the only one who could save through his death and resurrection, which gave us victory over sin and death. In John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." By his death on the cross, he was the only worthy sacrifice that would cover my imperfection, my sin. Christ bore God's wrath in my place for my sin, so that I may be spared. And accepting this precious gift was sufficient. This is found in Ephesians 2:8. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God." Matt described this to me in his own words, as Matt has such an amazing way of doing. and he can explain things so that even I am able to understand. I am so thankful that Matt had planted the seed of the gospel in me at that time. In Romans 8:28, Paul writes, "And we know God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." As the years went by, I started praying to the Lord and asking his forgiveness. I also began thinking about his love for me and the priceless gift he has given to us. However, it took quite some time on my part to relinquish the control I thought I had over my life, to repent my sins, of which pride was the greatest. It is so amazing how God works. I now understand that God had been shaping me in both the negative and positive experiences. I've had throughout my life, leading me to where I am today. I received an emergent wake-up call from God the beginning of August 2014. He used a video to command my attention. The video was about the end times prophecies, and it was this video that most certainly put the fear of God in me. But he also reminded me of his undying love for us through his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. God relayed to me that I had been sitting on the fence of Christianity long enough and I needed to make the decision to cry out to him, to truly repent of my sins and accept Jesus into my heart as my Savior and commit my life to following him. And the time was now. Romans 13:12 explains the urgency of God's call. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. I did respond to God's call. I began avidly reading my study Bible, for I had spent so much time away from Christ, I really wanted to get to know him through his word. Being very shy and much of a loner, God provided me the strength to reach out to others for support at that time in my life. I needed to find a church so I could grow closer to the Lord. I thought of Matt and his teaching from long ago. I wanted to thank him and share with him my newfound salvation, for it was God working through Matt that I came to know the truth about salvation in the first place. After all these years, I was blessed to find Matt here in Youngstown heading up SGC, which is just so amazing. And it is here the Lord has given me everything I need to remain close to him. I know that salvation is just the beginning, and I must continue to remain close to the Lord by reading and studying his word and trusting in him for everything. He has brought such a significant transformation in me. He has opened my eyes and my ears and has sealed my heart. I cannot find the words to express my gratitude for God's wake-up call. Though I had been away from God for so long, he never gave up on me. He was always there, watching over me, guiding me, and patiently awaiting my return to him. And by the grace of Jesus Christ, I am made a new creation. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen.
People you cross paths with, and you never know that you're going to see them again, and never know what the Lord does. And so we thank the Lord for what he's done in Susan's life, and praise God for that. So, Susan, based upon your testimony of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi guys, my name's Kathy Sullivan. I want to tell a brief. I was at the Galt, and I was talking to. It was funny. I seen you walk in, Jenny Weimer back there, and she was sharing some encouraging words. And my attitude was, I know, I got saved when I was 22 years old. I'm 41 now. After I said that, I kind of got a little conviction and felt like there was a lot of ego involved in that comment. And it also spurred me on to looking back over my life when I came to know who Christ was, and started questioning the idea of my salvation being genuine at that point. I came here, we were in Romans 9, 1 through 5, that day, I don't remember everything Pastor Matt talked about, but I know Romans 9:3, where it reads, "For I could wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren." I'm trying not to cry, so I do that sometimes real easy. "For I could wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." Paul was speaking in terms of, his Hebrew brothers, who I believe at that point were pursuing him to kill him because he used to, he used to go after Christians and then he was preaching Christ. And I realized that Paul had a heart like God's. And it made me look at my own heart and see that all my suffering was very self-centered. I wasn't getting what I wanted. Somebody wasn't loving me the way I wanted to be loved. And I pleaded with God that morning to change my heart. Sometimes I still question because it comes up, but thank God for God's word that reassures us that it doesn't have to have reign over our lives. With that said, in writing a testimony, I asked myself what I wanted to share with you guys today, because I've had such a very long history. And I wanted to really zero in on when I had my first drink. And I was under the age of 5 when I had my first drink. I found a beer, the music was playing, and I crawled behind the couch and drank that beer. And that's what I like to call my first spiritual experience. Because I wasn't born into a family that was loving and caring at that point. All I knew was suffering. What I knew was suffering and a lot of pain and anxiety. And with that drink, I found peace and I felt good. And that's why I call it a spiritual experience, because that's where I find those things today, is in Christ, you know. And that's real. That alcohol that day was a lie, you know. And it led me to the decision that that's all I wanted. Like, my life revolved around getting the next drink and consuming as much stuff as I could find to make me feel better. I'm trying to get back on point here. That's what I wanted. I wanted to consume as many mind and mood altering chemicals as I could. I hated the way I felt, and it is where I found my peace and relief. I seen a passion play about the age of 14, and I decided at that point that I had time to have fun before I committed to church, which I didn't hear the gospel. I walked up for altar call because I was afraid. The idea of hell scared me. It was pretty creepy the way they displayed it in the play. The rest of my teenage years consisted of a revolving door in and out of JJC. I spent 3 years in the 9th grade and just the life of absolute rebellion. I experimented with LSD at the age of 20, between 20 and 21. I had a bad reaction, and for the next year I suffered from hallucinations and constant fear, terror, and anxiety. I couldn't sleep at night. My life became unbearable. I knew I needed God or a doctor. I chose to seek God. I attended service at a Baptist church. I went up for altar call and was instantly relieved of all those sufferings. However, my drinking was still a problem. I attended service at different churches because I thought there would be something. I thought there was something I was missing that I needed to fix me. I remember it was in the 90s and revival was real big in the area, you know, and there were different churches that were having all these revival services. I seen people do leapfrog across the you know, podium saying it's okay to have fun in Christ, you know, but I knew that wasn't what I was looking for. But I also had this ideal, and I didn't realize it, that I thought God would come down with a magic wand and he would fix what was broken in me. I missed the mark. I thought sin was an outward doing of things, you know, like I sinned by what I did. I missed the point that sin started in my heart, you know, it was my thinking. But anyways, I ended up at home church. You know, I went from all these churches and I ended up at home church where Matt was teaching, probably like 2000, something like that. And, you know, and he was teaching, it was expository teaching, and I started understanding theology and how to read the Bible, and I still didn't get it, you know, that sin was in me, my thinking, you know, what I worshipped was what I thought about, you know, the thought, I always thought of my heart here, I didn't realize, I just didn't get it yet, and I began to suffer more. Like, as I started understanding scripture more, I began to suffer more. My behavior became a little more erratic. I really felt like I wasn't a part of the group. And, you know, I made myself more like, inside, I felt like a victim. You know, like I didn't fit in, I'm not good enough. You know, it's very much a works thing, you know, legalism. And it was funny, like, I started looking at them. Sorry, guys, it's just the way it was. And I know it wasn't true, but I thought they were very legalistic, you know. And it got to the point, Revelation 3:15-16. It says, I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were either cold or, I can't read my own writing, I'm sorry. I wish that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I would spit you out of my mouth. That verse started tormenting me. I was miserable in church. I felt I was no witness as far as what Christ can do in somebody's life. And I decided to go back to, like, the lifestyle I just knew how to live. And that was, like, a lot of drinking. Over the course of the next couple years, I was in the bar. The last 9 months of it was in the bar drinking a lot of Jack Daniels and taking things to help me drink more Jack Daniels. And I lost everything. I couldn't pay my rent. You know, I was living in my friend's basement. But with that said, I ended up stopping drinking and I used a 12-step program. And I thought if I could control the drinking that I would be okay, but I discovered that there was other sins in my life that I was letting reign, and I was still miserable. And after I got pregnant with Clara, I asked myself, how do I be a good mom? I don't know how to be a good mom. And the only answer I could come up with was to raise her in the ways of the Lord. And I didn't know how to really exactly do that by myself. And I knew I needed to go back to church. And I didn't know where else to go but here. And I had avoided Sovereign Grace. I'd gone to different churches here and there, but I had avoided Sovereign Grace because I knew the commitment that was involved with coming here. I knew that Scripture was taught appropriately, and I knew there was a high accountability. Not because anybody wants to hurt anybody, it's because we love one another and want to encourage each other to good works. And I've always had a fear of man, you know, which I have a lot of idols. And John MacArthur said that our hearts are factories of idols. And I realize today that, like, that is the battle. You know, that is the battle. And it's not one that I have to fight. Christ says that to me. Like, all I have to do is look to the cross. Like, on a daily basis, I remind myself that I have to look to the cross, Christ's death and resurrection. Because very easily, I really fall into, like, sinful thinking. And my feelings get hurt, and it's always about me, you know? And that's not true. Like, we're called to serve. And our lives are about loving others. And sharing the love of Christ on the cross. But I don't want to talk too long because I could do that sometimes. But so yeah, I ended up coming back to Sovereign Grace and Romans 9:3. When Matt went over that sermon, like I said, I pleaded with God to change my heart, and I'm here, and I here. You know, it was really big to get up and say, hey, you know what, I just got saved. Yeah, I left that day and I said to Pastor Matt, I don't know what just happened, if I just got saved or what, but like, something big really just happened, you know? So, I'm gonna quit talking. Thanks.
Thank God that something really big did happen, and we're thankful for the Lord's work in your life and testimony of His grace. You know, I mean, with a couple of the testimonies, we can just see how long patient, how long suffering, how patient the Lord is with us, and so we thank Him for that. And so, Kathy, based upon your testimony and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, this concludes our service this morning, and we can thank God. I encourage you to pray for these three, and as well as Paul and Joan as well, coming on as new members. And we just much to be thankful for. Let me close this with a word of prayer. Lord God Almighty, we come before you, and we thank you and praise you for the wonder of your grace and kindness to sinners like us. Indeed, in the ages to come, you will show forth that riches of kindness, and we will see just how gracious you are. But Lord, you don't let us wait until then to see something of your grace. And we've seen that grace in the lives of these three today. And we just give you the praise. We thank you for Emily, for Susan, for Kathy, for your saving work in their lives, each of them having different stories, but each of them, their story fitting into the bigger story of the wonder of your death, burial, and resurrection. That Jesus died for sin, and he was raised from the dead. And we see these three have experientially died to sin and been raised to newness of life. And now, in a symbolic picture kind of way, we saw their baptism of their death and resurrection. And so we bless you, we praise you, and we give you the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.